benefits is program number 11.
Program number 11, Howland Township. Howland.
And its schools.
The Alpha Omega chapter, Alpha Delta State, of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women educators group, in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents A History of Howland Township and its Schools. Howland Township is the fourth township in the third range as laid out by the Connecticut surveyors. It lies east of the township of Warren and between it and Vienna Township. Bezetta Township is north, Wethersfield Township is south of Howland, and the city limits of Warren touch it at its western line. Mosquito Creek, a stream of considerable size, flows through the township from north to south and divides Howland into almost two equal portions. The Mahoning River cuts across a small corner of the southwest part of Howland Township. Joseph Howland, for whom the township was named, received land east of Warren by draft in 1798 as part of the Connecticut Land Company. It is interesting to know that Joseph Howland was the great-grandson of John Howland, who arrived on the Mayflower and was the 13th signer of the Magna Carta. Joseph Howland did not settle in Howland. Early historians have written that if Joseph and his wife Lydia had witnessed a sunset on Howland Hill, they would have been very proud that this township was named for them. The name Howland means highland, and there are numerous breathtaking views from the highlands of the township. Joseph Howland paid $24,000 for two Trumbull County townships, Howland and Green. He sold 1,600 acres of this original tract to Captain John Adgate for $1,600, $1 per acre. Captain Adgate's land was located near the southwest corner of the township. He became the first settler of Howland, arriving in the summer of 1799, bringing his family with him. They came from Pennsylvania by way of Pittsburgh to the Beaver River and up the Mahoning River. It was a long, hard journey. They traveled by ox cart and many miles on foot, cutting their way through dense forest. Captain Adgate and his wife had seven children, three girls and four boys. In 1805, Isaac Heaton and his brother James settled in the southeastern part of Howland. James sold out to Abraham Drake and went to Wethersfield. Isaac, known to the settlers as Squire Heaton, lived and died in Howland. Squire Heaton became magistrate of the township and had numerous disputes to settle. Squire Heaton was once challenged by a Warren lawyer on one of his legal decisions. The attorney told Squire that his verdict wasn't law. The people of Connecticut made religion and education. Squire answered, "Law? Law? What do I care about law? All the law I want is here." And he laid his hand on the old leather-covered Bible. He was a man of good judgment and sound common sense, even though he did not have much education. In 1812, the commissioners of Trumbull County organized Township 4, Range 3, into separate townships and election districts. The early records were lost, so the first township officers are unknown. The people of Connecticut made religion and education priorities in their thinking and living. With these basic beliefs, there was a provision in the certificate of sale of the Western Reserve land that there should be 500 acres reserved in each township for the support of the gospel and 500 acres for the support of the schools. There's very little information available about early schools in Howland. It is recorded that the first schoolhouse was built on the 4th of July, 1804, near where James Ward lived. The first teacher was Ruth Alford. No biographical sketch of her can be found, but there are references to Alfords serving in the War of 1812 from Trumbull and Mahoning counties. Their names were Charles, Darius, Elijah, and Silas Alford. At that time, a girl who had not been married before, she was in her late teens, could earn a living as a school teacher while waiting for a marriage proposal. Like most school teachers of the early 1800s, Miss Alford was probably not paid in money. The wages were usually $1 worth of flax and linen cloth a week. Female teachers boarded round with different families in the district. These women teachers did not have it easy. They often arrived at school on cold winter mornings with their long skirts frozen from the walk through the deep snow. The women teachers who married stopped teaching because married women were not allowed to teach. The first schoolhouse in which Miss Alford taught was a simple structure of logs. Inside, there was a huge fireplace which extended entirely across one side of the schoolroom. The fireplace was heated by the full blast by long, heavy logs which were rolled in as needed. It was here that wet clothing was dried and cold hands and feet were warmed. Later, a Maria Heaton stove manufactured by James Heaton was given to the Howland Log Schoolhouse. Boards set on wooden pins driven into the floor formed the pupils' writing desk. The benches were rough and primitive, formed from slabs of wood without backs or anything to rest arms or body on. Boys and girls of those days didn't skip their breakfast, but ate heartily of bacon, Johnny cake, and milk. Because they ate so well and exercised by working, the children needed no supports for their aching backs, as no child suffered of that ailment. Incidentally, since cornmeal was a staple article of food in the early days, Johnny cake was a part of the daily diet. The dough was prepared on a smooth board kept especially for this purpose and placed before the hot roaring fire. Some young member of the family was chosen to watch it. Other log house schools were built as families clustered into neighborhood groups. One was built in the northwest part of the township, taught by John Ewalt. John Anderson taught in another schoolhouse built in the King neighborhood. The Howland Township map in the Trumbull County Atlas of 1874 shows six original log schoolhouses in the various section of the township. The number of schools increased until the township was centralized when schoolwork was centered in two buildings, the center and the Boldendale School. In 1917, the children were brought to the central school in horse-drawn vans. The first high school graduation in Howland was held in 1921 with Miss Anna Mary Strudhoff as the lone graduate. The first religious service at which a sermon was preached was held at the house of John Reeves in 1803 with a Baptist minister conducting the service. A Presbyterian church was organized in 1815 by the Reverend Joseph Curtis, pastor of the Warren Church. There were 13 original members. In 1820, a log building was erected in the northeast section of the township, used as both church and schoolhouse. In this building, a Methodist church of 10 members had its beginning. There was also a Disciples Church organized in 1828. People of Connecticut were undoubtedly pleased, as the devout spirit of the Howland pioneers is shown in their endeavors to organize churches of their own particular denominations. Any history of Howland would not be complete without mention of Howland Springs. The water from these springs has a fine reputation for its medicinal qualities. It is still bottled and delivered to homes in Trumbull County today. Howland Springs opened as a health resort at an early day. John Hank first owned the land on which the springs are located. Howland Springs became a summer resort and a Sunday gathering place for people of surrounding area during the days of good driving horses and smart rigs. General Garfield often visited the Howland Springs Hotel, and under the trees near the old bowling alley, he and the politicians of Trumbull County talked by the hour. The county tavern and store, run by John Collins and later by John Sowers, was the first store in Howland. Young boys who walked from Warren to Vienna to attend Beige Academy would always stop at the Collins store to refresh themselves with some ginger cookies, candy, and a tin cup of sweet cider. Pioneer industries were limited to sawmills and grist mills. The first mill was built in 1814 by Samuel Kennedy. This was located on a branch of Mosquito Creek. Septimus Cadwalder located a grist mill on the same stream in 1850. There's an extensive bed of flagstone underlying the surface in the northwest section of Howland. It is among the best to be found anywhere. The first sidewalks of Warren were laid with Howland flagstone. There was also some coal under the surface, which provided work for the early pioneers. As one rides through Howland Township today, the historical plaques on buildings remind us of the contribution of those early settlers. These plaques are on the Seeley House, which had been entered in the National Register of Historic Places, the Seeley Cemetery, Howland Springs Hotel site, the Ewald House, Ewald Cemetery, and the Hall Airport.